KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents The On-Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
Beautiful Wednesday morning to all. Welcome to The On-Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. What a Wednesday, Ron.
Yeah, what a beautiful day. You know, this is the pick day of the week, perfect. Too. You're going to be just a light breeze, and I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be taking advantage of everything outdoors, including probably some burning. It's going to be some pasture burning in the Flint Hills going on today.
I smelt a little bit in the air last night. I went home after dinner and started a little fire. I have 73,000 twigs that have fallen over the winter that needed burn up. And I smelt a little bit of prairie burn last night, but today there should be a lot.
Because it will not be conducive for that activity right on through the weekend. The wind's going to be howling starting again tomorrow. So,
yeah, a great day to get out and enjoy all the wonderful things to do outdoors in the Emporia area.
No doubt about that.
And a great day to welcome Lisa Soler, Deputy Director at Lyon County History Center. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
It's almost April.
I can't wait.
I was going to say, Lisa, how have you been?
Been a long march for...
It has been a long march. If you are friends Greg. With me on Facebook, you know of the trials and tribulations that Greg and I have faced in March with illness, the flu, pneumonia. I took a fall a couple of weeks ago while taking out the trash, so that is something I will not be doing ever again. Yeah, it's been rough. Broke a tooth, scraped up pretty good, but...
The listeners are wondering, when she walked in this morning, she told me about her trials and tribulations. You couldn't tell.
Yeah.
You feel very well.
I have to say, Dr. Malone, they were able to get me in. They had a cancellation. It all worked out really well. Went there first before the ER. Everybody's like, you went to the dentist first? And I was like, yes, I did. Yeah. And I sent Greg in. I was like, just tell him. I'm still in the car covering my mouth. Greg went in and told him what had happened. And then he opened the door and waved me in. And they got me in right away in 45 minutes. 45 minutes later.
And they're really good with HIPAA because nobody at the house told me that they'd seen Greg and Lisa that day.
Yeah.
Well, I would have wished you well.
I kind of knew something was going on because my wife was down at the History Center paying our membership dues, and she said, you know, Lisa took a fall, and she looked a little rough when she was down there. You're still bruised up a little bit on your face anyway.
Yeah, there's still a little pink spots. I mean, there's one right by my eye where you can no longer see the freckles. So that was a little sad.
They got rubbed off.
They did. I mean, it just scraped one way the to get freckles. Rid of, oh my God. Yeah, right? All these years I've tried lemon juice. Who would have known?
It's just concrete or asphalt.
Yeah, just concrete and just kind of slide across it. From the minute it happened, I had a good sense of humor about it because that day I was having a really good hair day. And so that,
nice.
Yeah, and so it was... Just a little bump in the alley. So, but now
we're only a couple of days left in this month.
Yes,
and smooth sailing in April.
Smooth sailing. Yeah, I mean we have the annual meeting coming up. I have kind of have it organized where my role is going to be very, very small for that. We'll have the grandkids, so we're going to have our grandkids this weekend. So they'll be there. So if you want to meet the grandkids, they're going to be there.
Okay.
But yeah, just a couple more days, and then April Fool's Day will be here.
Well, let's not leave this month yet because it's Women's History Month.
It is. Women's History Month,
and there's a lot of famous women names in Lyon County.
Oh, absolutely. What? We did an exhibit a couple of years ago. And it was called Skirting Convention, and we featured about 15 women who their names were known beyond Lyon County borders. Some of them were business women, some of them were artists, musicians. Kelly Wade Hunt. We featured her. Thelma Hill, a silent film actress who was born here. Sally White. Helen Erickson. the quilter. She also had an international business called Mrs. Danner's Quilts, and she had catalogs, and she would sell the patterns to people. And it had actually started, Mrs. Danner out of El Dorado started this catalog, and then in the 1970s, Helen Erickson purchased it. So she was widely internationally known.
Jeff Kretzinger in there?
Yes, we had Rose and Mary. Yeah. Rose and her daughter Mary Kretzinger. Because, again, following the quilt, Rose Kretzinger was known throughout the United States, for her quilt designs, her applique. And then her daughter Mary was well known for her artistry and metal jewelry making. So several other women. But, yeah, we've had our fair share of women who went on to be known. Belle Livingstone, I know I've talked about her here. And then also Maude Wagner.
Let's get into Maude.
Maude is an incredible woman. She is.
What an interesting history she has.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. She, and in fact, she was the one who kind of jump-started the skirting convention exhibit. We were talking about doing different exhibits. We were still at the old location, the old Carnegie Library, and we were talking about different exhibits we were going to put in the new building. And we had talked about notables, notable people that were from Lyon County. And so I went to Wikipedia first just to see who they had listed, and they had this woman, Maude Stevens Wagner. And I was like, who? And it said tattoo artist. And it was like, huh. So I did a little research, and that iconic photo of her, that studio photo where she's kind of leaning and you can just see her upper, her torso, had just started to kind of start making the rounds on the internet. And I just took a deep dive into her life and, yeah, her history. And I think what intrigued me, the tattoos intrigued me because the artistry, I'm not artistic at all. I'm creative, just not artistic. And it just fascinated me. But aside from the tattoos, the traditional woman's role in, 1900 was you were either a housewife or a farm wife. Yeah. That was kind of it during that time. She was born in 1877, and she eventually moved to Chase County around 1896, so 19 years old. So she spent her formative years here in Emporia, in Lyon County. And it just, that life was not for her. And she knew that. But to skirt that convention, that traditional role, I think that's what intrigued me the most, is she carved out her own path. And it was a unique path. At that, she was
on a hard time to do it.
For sure,
especially with travel nowadays and technology nowadays. If you think you want to do something, it's pretty. You can start doing it the next day, really, wherever you want.
As far as traveling, you never got to anywhere in a hurry. Back in that day,
no. I mean, this was before cars. It was incredible. I was going to say she was an aerialist and a contortionist before. So she joined a traveling circus. She had an older sister, Dora, and they were the Stevens sisters, and they had joined this traveling circus. So they were...
What did their parents do?
Farmers. Yeah. And so they moved here around... 1870, maybe around that time. Let's see. The family moved to Lyon County in 1869. They were originally in Iowa. And I found a newspaper article or some type of legal thing that there was some legal issues that were happening in Iowa. And that's why they moved to Kansas. And I think also her dad, whose name was David Van Buren Stevens, and her mom, Sarah, David's dad was already living in Kansas, so that probably is the reason why they settled here. And so Grandpa's living here first in the area. They moved here, And they, yeah, they were just farmers. He worked for the Katy Railroad for some time.
Okay.
He is listed in one of our, like, the 1888 city directory, and it lists him as working for the railroad. But he was also the farmer. And eventually he quit the railroad and was farmer full time. And eventually, 1896, they moved to Chase County, where they continued to live on a farm.
Now, You mentioned Maude and her sister joined the circus. Is that where the tattooing took place, is with the circus? Or I can't imagine there were, like, tattoo places around here back in the 1800s.
I can't either, but I assume they went to a circus and fell in love with it or something? Or they read about it in a magazine?
I mean, this was because Emporia was, you know, had two railroads coming through, and they had two universities. I mean, this was a very happening place. In fact, Emporia was known as the Athens of the Prairie because of the famous people that were coming to Emporia and the area. And because of the railroads, it was, you were talking about travel. Well, you had the railroads, you know, two railroads that, you know, intersected at Emporia. And so famous people were here all the time. So I'm sure that circuses would stop here in Emporia. And yeah, she probably saw one and was like, that's what I want to do. So the tattooing was primarily on the coast. And it was military. It was very male dominated.
Yeah.
But it was typically a certain type of person would be getting the tattoos. Definitely not a gentleman or a influential business.
Very rebellious.
Yeah, it was rebellious. It was rebellious. So it was primarily on the east and west coast that you know, where ports were. So Navy, you know, coming in.
You
so
were a rough-edged individual, basically.
Yeah, there was definitely, it was not part of popular culture at all. Well, 1904, she and her, and we, I don't know if her sister is there, but she is performing at the World's Fair in St. Louis, 1904. St. Louis Fair. She's there as part of the attractions and the performers, and she meets a gentleman by the name of Gus Wagner. He was there as a tattoo artist, but also he billed himself as the most artistically marked up man in America. And she was intrigued. And so the folklore is she exchanged a date. He wanted to date her. So she was like, yeah, I'll date you, but I want a tattoo and I want a lesson in how to tattoo. And that's kind of what kicked it off.
Okay.
So, and then that iconic photo is done within 3 years. So by 1907, she was almost covered from head to toe.
Okay.
So,
did she do her own? Did Gus do them?
Gus did, I think, most of them.
Okay.
And so then they started traveling. So they got married the same year that they met. So 1904, the fair started that April, and they were married by fall, by October. And he was also, he called himself the Globetrotter because he traveled all over. I mean, that's where he was a merchant marine for about 4 years. And in those travels, he went to different countries where the natives, that was, you know, the tattooing was part of their culture. And that's where he learned the hand poke method. So they didn't have the electricity. They didn't have the modern tools. It was hand poke, which seems incredibly painful to me, but because I have no tattoos. So anyway.
And it does take a long time, too.
And it does. I mean, if you think of how long it takes with, you know, it being with the machinery today, with the equipment, could you imagine that it was one poke at a time? And yeah. So, and he preferred that. I read somewhere that it was less painful than using the equipment because you had more control over it, I think. I don't know, but it was supposed to be less painful.
Wow.
I'll trust him on that.
I'm good to know. So that was it. They got married. They started traveling. They she was tattooed. They would do the sideshow circuit. And so they were partially, you know, part of the attraction as being these two people that were covered from neck to feet with the tattoos. But then they also did the tattoos. And so they really are starting to examine their life and how they brought the art of tattooing from the coast into these rural areas where these circuses would be, and how that kind of, how they revolutionized the tattoo, the art, you know, not only the art, but the acceptance of it as well.
Look at what they started.
They started, and she was the first female, and I'll read a lot where it says that she was the first female tattoo artist. Well, tattoos were part of Native American culture. And so I would imagine women were, you know, Native American women were part of that. So I usually say she was the first female commercial tattoo artist. And what an incredible history. I mean, I was shocked when I came across it, that here's this woman, and she was born in Emporia, Kansas.
It certainly is mainstream now, that is for sure.
Very much, very much.
Yeah, Women's History Month, Maude Wagner. Of course, we have Maude's Tattoo Shop here.
Yes.
Yeah, here in town now. So.
Yeah, and you know, part I say that's kind of part of her legacy, is not only, you know, we have two tattoo shops here. One is, you know, female-owned, and then we have Maude's across the street from the History Center. And but then more women are getting tattoos today. In fact, more women than men have tattoos. Now, as far as the tattoo artists, they're still at about 25% are women and 75% are men. So that needs to come up a little. But her legacy lives on. About 5 years ago, there was this girl from Derby. And she was like in third or fourth grade, and they were doing like a wax museum of Kansas people. And this girl chose Maude. And so her mom brought her up here, and we showed her photos. We gave her a history.
Okay.
She went and visited the headstones. They're buried in Chase County. So they did this whole thing, and so she portrayed Maude Wagner. They put temporary tattoos all over her arms, and just that's how a legacy continues, is you get those young people in. But she was just fascinated with Maude and her story.
This is the On Air Chat. We're with Lisa Soller, Deputy Director, Lyon County History Center. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. This is KVOE News Headlines.
Chuck Samples, KVOE News, with local news headlines today, brought to you by the City of Emporia. Stay informed and connected all in one place at emporiaks.gov. Big ribbon cutting and open house ceremony taking place for the Chase County Old School Development District, highlighting the opening of the apartment side of the property. And this has been a long process for the Old School Development District, well better than 10 years old now. Formal charges being considered against seven men accused of human trafficking and commercial sex crimes as part of a multi-agency investigation in Kansas and Missouri, all seven arrested in Butler County. And investigative work continues after a destructive grass fire in eastern Lyon County from March 14th. There has been more damage confirmed, including properties, including a chicken coop, destroyed. Headlines brought to you today by the City of Emporia. Stay informed and connected all in one place at emporiaks.gov. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local.
And welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting, and Lisa Soller, Deputy Director, Lyon County History Center, is in for her monthly visit, and we've been touching on Women's History Month here. Maude Wagner. Quite an interesting tale to tell there.
Well, and she wasn't just, I mean, so Gus and her did the tattoos, but they were artists also. He did sculptures. She would paint the canvas, the advertising of the shows, the circus, when they would come back. So they would be traveling, and then their home base was Chase County, and their daughter would go with them. So they had two daughters. One died in infancy, but Lativa, their daughter, was an artist in her own right. She was also a tattoo artist, but something that was unusual is she never had a tattoo of her own. She never a tattoo. She wanted her dad to give her her first tattoo, and Maude was adamantly against it. And she actually started tattooing at the age of 14. And
she had some good teachers.
She had some great teachers. And eventually, Gus passed away in 1940.
Was she against it because of her age?
I think, yeah. I think that was part of it. And she was, I can't remember when she was born, but she was probably in her 20s by the time her dad died. So I'm not sure, unless maybe he couldn't, maybe he wasn't able to for health reasons. I know he passed away under kind of odd circumstances. There was a lightning strike. He died in 1941, but about a year before, either he was struck by lightning or a tree he was standing next to was struck by lightning and a tree limb fell on him. But a year later, he died from those injuries. I mean, he never truly recovered. But yeah, she never... Lativa never got a tattoo. She was also known for her Western art. Her mom and her would decorate Strong City storefronts during the rodeo. They would pay her. They were wild. They were accepted in the community. So I do a program on her, and I talk about the family coming here, and her grandfather's buried at Old Peace Cemetery. So there's still a family connection here. And I was giving it in Ottawa, and there was a woman in the audience. So at the very end, this woman stood up, and she was like, "I knew Maude." And I was just tickled. I mean, I was like, please tell me about
everything.
And so the thing she remembers, and this is a little risque story, but not too horrible, her brother... And so this woman's brother and the brother's friend were riding their bikes by, and they lived out in the country, so they had to have lived very close. Anyway, Maude was taking a bath outside in a pail or like a horse trough. She would take a bath, and they saw her naked. And there was a tattoo that was placed on her chest. And that's all he remembered. And it was a snake. It was a snake tattoo. And I think that represented... So Gus and her also collected reptiles. And they just had some very... They collected rocks. They had some very interesting hobbies outside of their chosen profession.
Interesting hobbies. And that's coming from somebody that was an acrobat.
Yeah.
In a circus.
Contortionist,
And a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
And their hobbies are
And their hobbies were, they were rock hounds, and they collected, like, shrunken heads, and they had snakes, and, yeah, just so unique for, because you never hear those stories.
They'd have a show on Bravo right now or something.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Oh, that, huh. You know, what would their Instagram and Facebook look like?
Yes.
And,
yeah,
no, you know, and have a reality TV show, The Real Tattoo Artist of Kansas or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I love sharing her story because it goes beyond the tattoos. It really was her following her own path and doing what she loved doing. We have a collection of photos that was given to us. So the house was out in the country in the Homestead Township of Chase County, so south of Cedar Point, Clements area. And they basically, when Maude, so he died in 1941, Maude eventually moved to Oklahoma where her daughter was living. She had some health issues. They up and just left the house. I have read where it looked like they just left after breakfast. And so the house stood there for quite some time, probably about 10, 15 years. And eventually, you know, everything was sold and somebody purchased it while people were breaking into the house. Unfortunately, and were squatting there. And so family members of the person who donated the photos went into the house, had gone into the house, I think to help the owner remove some stuff before they demoed the house. And they found photos with scorch marks on it. And it looked like they had kind of, whoever was living there, squatting there, had actually been using some of the stuff there to for fire to keep warm. Anyway, there's photos of the family, you know, doing what they did. And we have a couple of photos where you can see in the background the big tarps with the designs, you know, with the sideshow designs on them. There's one of Maude in a bikini. And the photo was probably 1940s. Maybe late 1930s, and it shows her in a bikini to the side view, and you can see all her tattoos.
She's 50-ish at the time?
Well, she was born, yeah.
77?
So she was born in 77.
60-ish.
So, yeah.
It's in the 40s.
Yeah. So she passed away in 1961.
Okay, 61, right.
Yeah, she died in 1961. She was living with her daughter at the time, and you know, I think she was pretty, you know, the history was pretty obscure until this photo surfaced from 1907. And then people started to get interested. And we probably get maybe a handful of inquiries every year about Maude.
But you got a really good history because of...
We do.
That, A, you saw that and decided to do a deep dive. But
yeah.
Somebody that interesting has to stick out almost everywhere she goes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw a meme once that said if you know, if we're still talking about people, they have immortality. And I was like, that's our superpower, is we give people immortality by sharing their stories. I was just interviewed by NPR about Maude. And I mean, in the interviewer, the reporter was, you know, asked some great questions about both, you know, Maude and Gus and Lativa. And, you know, I said that on the interview, it's like, you know, they're still around us as long as we keep talking. They're never dead. So, and that's why we do what we do, is to make sure that we remember people and their stories.
Well, when did she move to Oklahoma then? Was it shortly after Gus passed? Or?
Yeah, it was around 1948. Okay. So she was there for about 12 years. You know, all her family had passed away by then. Dora, her sister, had passed away. I'd like to know more about Dora because she also had tattoos, not quite to the extent of Maude, but she was also an aerialist and a contortionist. And, you know, and again, I would love to know, like, what they saw here in Emporia that kind of guided them to, I can fly through the air.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm pretty flexible. Yeah, I can
travel. I can do what I want.
Yeah. And traveling and seeing the world and just living a different existence.
Did they have any? Did they have any other siblings, or just those two?
It was just the two daughters. So Dora and Maude.
So Dad probably not as mad because they weren't males leaving the farm.
Uh-huh.
Well, and there was a lot. I've read, and people have asked. In fact, the woman that was in Ottawa, she was like, you know, we had heard that there was a lot of family dysfunction, and that they didn't really get along because of that lifestyle. And I have a hard time believing that, you know, I mean, all families, you know, have issues. But her first tattoo was on her right arm. And there's a picture of it with Gus giving her first tattoo. And it's a tattoo dedicated to her dad's military service. Her dad was in the Civil War. And so, you know, she could have chosen anything, yeah, but she chose to honor her dad's military service. Their first daughter, the one that died in infancy, was named Sarah, named after her mother. So I have a hard time believing that there was major.
Yeah, there probably was some dysfunction, well, but not total dysfunction.
You know, all families, you know, fight. That's what families do.
Sounds like there's still some respect, though.
Yeah. But there was.
No matter. When your kid thinks that much differently than you,
yes,
it's pretty apparent. They're not just being rebellious to be different.
Yeah.
They think a lot different than you do. At some point, the parents have to realize that and respect it.
And I had
especially
read,
with success.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I had read somewhere that her parents also did circus, but I haven't found anything to validate that. So I typically don't mention that, just because I haven't been able to find anything that says, yes, they were. And the fact that he worked for the railroad and he was a farmer, I just have a hard time believing that they were part of it. But like I said, they probably saw something during those formative years here in Emporia.
Circus folks probably don't keep the best records.
No, they don't. And
what
we've
records?
Tried.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that the Seaport, let's see, the South Street Seaport Museum in New York City has Gus's scrapbook. I have no idea how they got it, but you can see some of the things from the scrapbook online. I mean, they certainly have a presence online that people can find out more about them.
Is it a tattoo scrapbook mainly?
It has examples of his tattoos. It also has photos of their travels. It's incredible. It's on my to-do list to reach out to them, and then other things happen. So
let's get it on loan.
So I haven't.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we still haven't done the notable exhibit at the History Center. And so one of these days, she's going to have a permanent, as permanent as you can do in a museum. But, you know, we're going to have an area for notable people, and she's definitely going to be right there.
Well, and what a great one, and obviously the picture that most have seen of her full body tattoo,
yeah,
is just a very, very striking photo, and
very.
Creates a lot of intrigue. And then you dig into her, and it gets even more interesting. That's
yeah,
she's kind of the pinnacle of what a history museum's there for, is to try to find the stories.
Yeah. Absolutely, and again, for quite a while, you know, I think the story was, I don't want to say it was buried, but in articles that I've read that the daughter gave interviews, she talked more about her dad than she did her mom. And so maybe there was some dysfunction with that too. But she speaks very highly of her dad. So, you know, I'm thinking a daddy's girl, and that, you know, mom was probably a little more strict. Maybe, you know, with the tattoos, definitely. But yeah, great story.
Yeah, great story.
Great story for Emporia.
Maude Wagner. Interesting. And you have information at the History Center, more information on Maude?
We do. We have the photos. I'm always looking for stuff to add to the collection, and or what people might have out there. I know I know there are several tattoo artists throughout the United States that have collected items of hers, you know, by either luck or, you know, they searched it out. And so I've been collecting names of people who have these things. I know there's somebody pretty local, I think Kansas City, who has some stuff, and I've been in touch with him. We've been in touch with family members of Gus's, that they want to work with us to help share her story and to tell her story and Gus's story. Because yeah. Even though they lived in Chase County, they came to Emporia. I mean, Emporia was still the largest city,
yeah.
You know, in close proximity to Chase County. So they were here. They're in that envelope of photos we got. There's a photo of him probably taken in the mid-30s, mid to late 30s. And it was taken here in Emporia by a photographer.
Okay.
So they were visiting here still pretty frequently. So even though they didn't live here, they still appreciate it. And I'm sure she had friendships from her childhood growing up here. So Emporia wasn't that far from her heart, I'm sure.
This is the On Air Chat. We're happy to be joined by Lisa Soller, Deputy Director, Lyon County History Center, Women's History Month, and Maude Wagner has been our interesting topic here today. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the chat right after this.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendoe, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Defense and top intel officials taking part in that text chat that accidentally included a journalist while they discussed U.S. strikes on Houthi rebels maintained that no classified information was discussed. ABC News contributor and former Defense Department official Mick Mulroy says that text chain published by the journalist mistakenly invited to the chat shows the dangers of using an app like Signal.
This is clearly taken from classified information about the order of battle in an ongoing operation. So next to covert operations or nuclear operations, this is the most sensitive information that the U.S. possesses.
Former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro will stand trial in 2025 for the alleged coup attempt in 2023. That after a Supreme Court panel today in Brazil accepted the accusations against him. Rare protests taking place inside Gaza today against Hamas. Israel also signaling it could ramp up military operations in Gaza. This is ABC News.
Celebrate March Madness all month long. From the First Four to the championship game, coverage of the NCAA tournament can be heard on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM.
Basketball.
Do you have a winning bracket? Live and local.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. Blake Cripps running the board for us. Thanks, Blake. And Lisa Soller, Deputy Director of Lyon County History Center, is our guest. A very, very interesting story about Maude Wagner as we're wrapping up Women's History Month. Got quite a few things coming up.
We do.
You got a ton of stuff. In fact, we had Greg on with us earlier today for yep. He was in for his bi-weekly visit, and he sent me some bullet points about what was going on at the History Center. I thought, my gosh.
A lot of bullet points.
There's 2 pages here of stuff going on.
Well, he writes it really big there. No, you should see his notes. They're, it's like font 48 or something.
I give nothing wrong with that, nothing as far as I'm concerned.
No, nothing wrong with that. No, we do. We have our annual meeting coming up on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And it'll be light refreshments, our business meeting, but then Jan Houston will be in, and she'll be talking about A.I. Baker, Judge Baker's murder at the hands of Bloody Bill Anderson in 1862. And then part of her program also talks about the archaeological dig that was done by Steve Hanshu in 1972. So 110 years later, they did an archaeological dig. So, and it's really well done. So she'll be doing that. And then on April 19th, the history of North Lyon County continues with our annual bus tour. Jan Houston leads that, as well as she has Leroy Boline, who's from North Lyon County.
Still spots available?
Oh, yep, there's still spots available, but they are filling up quickly. We just this morning we had two phone calls and somebody come in, and it typically sells out. And it's just, you know, they follow the path, you know, the trail.
Santa Fe Trail, yeah.
Santa Fe Trail up north, and they talk about the different stations. Of course, they talk about A.I. Baker. They point out the wagon ruts, and she just does a great job. Leroy and her both do a wonderful job taking people on this tour. Lunch is included in the price, so it's $35. But if you are a member of the History Center, you get a $5 discount, so it's only $30.
So do you meet at the History Center? Where do you meet
tour? You would meet this year. It's a little bit different. You'll be meeting in Allen at the NLC Community Center up there. So, and they actually have a breakfast once a month, and it happens to be on that day. So if you go a little bit early, you can grab an all-you-can-eat breakfast and then ride on a school bus after you get filled up. And then they will come back to there, and that's, I think, where they'll have lunch.
They stay pretty active up there.
Yeah, they do.
They have their biweekly breakfast. They have their opposite biweekly fish fries.
And, well, they've got their big, big, big annual fish fry coming up April the 2nd or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's the beginning of April. Yeah.
We have them on the air here, I think, next week. So.
Well, and we couldn't do the tour without USD 251. They help with the bus and the driver, and so we really appreciate them. Also, the Flint Hills, Heart of the Flint Hills chapter of the Santa Fe Trail Association is also involved in this as well. So we're pretty fortunate to have great partners up north. So we have that going on.
You're not done yet.
The bus tour. At the end, I'm trying to think, at the end of July, wow, I'm jumping ahead. At the end of April, we're doing the Jigsaw Jam puzzle competition with Trox Gallery and Emporia Main Street. And I know that there's only a couple of spots available on that as well. So if you go to
popular.
Very popular.
Yeah, because like, that's what, 26 teams, something like
about
that?
About 25, 26 teams. So we limit it, and it's been incredible. I mean, when we were first discussing it, we were kind of, you know, a little bit worried. It's like, all right, are we going to get anybody? And just sold out right away. So it's been a great event, a great partnership between Trox and Emporia Main Street. And so we love being able to host it on the third floor. And I give, you know, useless trivia throughout the competition. So no one's yelled at me yet. So I'm going to keep doing it. So we have that. Right now we have, and I know Greg mentioned, we have the Emporia First Friday Art Walk timeline. They just recently celebrated their 100th Art Walk. And Kat and Kayla approached me and was like, can we do a timeline here? It's like, sure, go for it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of our community connection exhibit. We'll have it up for a little while longer. And then our upcoming community connection exhibit is called By Blood, By Choice. And it will be about parents, parental figures, if, you know, and this will be open to the community. So if you have an artifact, or if you have some type of memorabilia or a photo of your parents or somebody who was a parental figure who really helped guide you in your life, who was very important to you, we want to hear that story. So this exhibit will run from May 2nd through July 31st. We'll collect items through the month of April. We'll have a couple of people from, you know, our collection. We'll focus and have some Lyon County people. We have a quilt in our collection that was – it's related to the Newman family. But it was made by a daughter while her mother was in the hospital dying. And it's the pattern is called tumbling blocks, and it looks like blocks are falling. And that has to be symbolic of how you feel when when you're watching a loved one be in the hospital and watching them, slowly, pass away. And so we have that. We have some photos of parents with their children. And so we'll have some things from our collection and photos, but we really want the community to share their photos and their stories and honor their, parents or whoever was in their life who helped guide them. We'll also have a members-only preview in May. Opening reception will be at the beginning, May 2nd, as part of Emporia First Friday. We'll do a couple of make it and take it for kids for Mother's Day and Father's Day. So if you want to have make a gift for somebody, come on in. We'll probably charge maybe a nominal fee to cover the costs of, maybe $5, $10. And then the closing event will be in July. And we'll have an opportunity for people to share their stories, so kind of like an open mic night.
Nice.
Or they can reach out to us and we can show videos if you're not comfortable
with
live performance. We'll also be videoing those stories as well. And it's just a great way to honor those important people in your life that helped you and guided you.
Do you guys have like a cheat sheet when somebody comes in and doesn't know exactly what stories to tell about their loved ones? Or have you done it enough that you make it a lot easier on them?
I will be honest, this is the first time we're doing something like this. I mean, we've done the community connections. We've done the different collections and this. But this has really kind of taken a deeper dive. But yeah, we'll have prompts. We do that somewhat for the Ad Astra Art Show, where we'll ask people what prompted them to create it, or if they purchased it,
why is it symbolic?
How did it touch you, where you thought of Kansas and how does it connect to Kansas? So we do that for the Ad Astra Art Show because I want to make those connections. And so we'll probably have some prompts for this once we start collecting them. We'll put that together, and just get their basic life story and why they were important.
That'll be a neat show.
I'm excited for this one. I really am. So, yeah. So if you have a story, keep us in mind.
Hopefully you have a story to tell.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us,
yeah,
Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
Interesting having you here.
Hopefully May has no Ides in it for you guys.
April.
April.
Yeah,
sorry, April 1st.
I'm hoping it starts with April.
Yeah.
So, no, it'll all be good.
Good. Well, that'll wrap it up for the on-air chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. The noon hour is coming up here shortly on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Flint Hills Technical College is excited to announce that they're offering evening classes presented 100% in Spanish. Classes are Tuesday and Thursday evenings beginning at 5:30. Call 620-343-4600 for more information. They have Spanish-speaking enrollment specialists available to help you. Flint Hills Technical College and Industrial Engineering, the path to your professional success.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team up next. Wash and Vac Spot Free Car Wash, home to the new Oasis Typhoon automatic.